Alongside the missile, Qadri Ismail, welcome back to the program. Hour number two on the show tonight. Let's head to Owings Mills, and that's where Jameson Hensley is. J-Mo, what's going on?
Hey, enjoying a late practice. The Ravens, because they had the road game on a Monday night, they're on more of a shortened week schedule. So I think they gave their guys a little bit of extra time in the morning, but then the result of that, you have a little bit of a later afternoon, early evening practice.
And when you look at this, I don't know, up and down roller coaster ride of the last 2 weeks, what jumps out at you, J-Mo, as the, wow, this Ravens team is either A, really, really good here, or wow, while they won these two games, I'm still not convinced.
No, I mean, they're still a very inconsistent team. And I think that's where, if you have some concerns, that's where it starts. It's that they can look, you know, especially late in games, that they find ways to win. But if they had only done some things differently in the first three quarters, it might not have to come down to the last few moments of a game. And in Detroit, it was the red zone offense. If you don't go 0-for-3 in the red zone, you're not have to sweat out a 61-yard field goal. But what's been impressive to me is the defense, for the most part, the first three quarters are shutting teams down. The offense, they're getting points, even though it's not touchdowns. They're getting points and not turning the ball over. And then at the end of games, they, like I said before, they are finding ways to win. And you'd rather see that out of a team than compared to the Lions, a franchise that just seems that they always find ways to lose. And I think that's where you're seeing, from my perspective, this is the most confident the Ravens have been as a team since the start of the season. And winning four straight, I don't think they feel like they're world beaters, but I think they feel like they're starting to peak at this point.
And the big story tonight, Jameson, the health of Joe Flacco. Did he practice today? And there's a lot of stuff out there about a brace. Tell us in. Fill us in.
Yeah, he practiced today. It was a limited basis. And you don't know how much he did, but I think he just did a little bit of the work. I would be surprised if he did anything full speed. But he was wearing a brace, and we noticed that when he was walking out to practice. It's on the left knee. It's the knee that where the helmet went directly on the knee. From watching him, it didn't seem like he had much of a limp. When we talked to him after practice, he called it a little uncomfortable. But in his mind, as long as it protects it, that's good for him. He's never had a severe knee injury, but he did have a sprained MCL his junior year of Delaware, and that forced him to wear a brace then as well, same knee. So he has experience with a knee brace. He just would prefer not to wear it, but he understands in order to play Sunday, he needs to have something that protects him.
So he's definitely wearing the brace on Sunday.
Yeah, because someone asked him, they're like, is it something that you just have to wear in practice, or is it something you're wearing in the game? And he specifically said, I don't care if it's required or not, he's wearing it because there's no good reason for him not to do it. In my mind, it does limit your mobility a little bit, but I think for his peace of mind, when you have that kind of a scare, he wants to have some more stability in that area of the leg, and I think that's why he's wearing it. The other interesting part was he was asked, is it just, do you need rest on it, or will you have to have surgery at the end of the season? And he said that it just needs rest. So to me, it's not that severe of an injury, but it's as much of a concern that you have to wear a brace on it. In my mind, it sounds like it's an injury that could get worse if he took another really bad blow to it. So that's why they're putting that brace on it.
So is it a MCL, LCL, PCL, yeah, meniscus?
He's not saying. He said you have to go to Harbaugh, which means you're not getting an answer. And he also said you can look on the injury report, and the injury report just says knee.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
Gotcha.
What is the big deal?
Especially in Patriots week, where the Patriots are so secretive over injuries. And if you ever see a Patriots injury report, look on questionable. They have about 18 guys on there just so you don't know who's really injured and who's not. So I think the Ravens feel like if the Patriots aren't giving any information, they're definitely not going to give any information on the most important person, you know, with the most important person on the field on Sunday.
And ultimately, it comes down to defensively, I should say, pardon me, let me transition over. Defensively, getting after Tom Brady, that has been an issue for the last few weeks as far as Terrell Suggs, Elvis Dumervil, and the rest of the guys up front. What's going on as far as the pressure looks that are getting on quarterbacks or lack thereof?
Yeah, I think that at times they are getting pressure. The quarterbacks are getting rid of the ball where they're not getting the sacks. But, it's these amount of games with only no sacks or one sack. And Suggs now, it's six games with him. And he admitted that he thinks about what's happening, that I'm not getting a sack over this. I still think that they need to get it. When they play, they can make do in getting pressure and forcing quick throws against the likes of a Stafford, a Matt Castle. But when they go against these elite quarterbacks like Tom Brady, they got to get some hits. They have to get hits and they have to get sacks. They have to do something to disrupt the timing. If not, I don't care that he doesn't have, Rob Gronkowski or Wes Welker. He's still going to find the open receiver. So I think more than at any time of the year, they need to get that pressure on Tom Brady, and they just can't be happy that, the effect of that, he got rid of the ball quicker. No, they have to get hits on him. They have to make him kind of almost fear the pass rush or feel the pressure coming, because if he gets comfortable in that pocket, it's going to be a long day for that Ravens secondary.
And real quickly, JMO, two things. One, the health of Ray Rice, and then two, your thoughts and observations as far as the job that Matt Elam did in the game against the Lions.
Yeah, with Ray Rice, he was a surprise, did not practice guy. He was one of the four guys that did not participate in today's practice. He was out at the beginning of practice. He was stretching. So that tells me it's not that big of a concern. My guess is that because it's a short week, it's because they lost that extra day being a Monday night game, that this was just an additional rest day for Ray Rice. Because if Joe Flacco is banged up, they're going to have to get the ball to Ray Rice a lot on Sunday. And as far as Matt Elam, I had questions because making those national headlines, calling Calvin Johnson pretty old. For a young player going on Monday Night Football, I wondered, would that affect his psyche? And I think it might have had something to do with him having that rocky start in that first series. But to come back, finish with a career-high 10 tackles and the game-sealing interception, that showed me a lot. I mean, for the first time this season, I came away from a game thinking, I was pretty impressed with Matt Elam, not only with his play, but that showed a lot of mental toughness with what he had to go through throughout week and come up with a performance like that.
He's Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com. Jameson, thank you so much.
Sounds good. Good night, guys.
That's Jameson, the one and only. We'll come back with much more here on BAL.